Hi, hi everyone. Thanks for joining the podcast today. Joining me is a real expert in the area of AI. It's Sid. Welcome, Sid. This is the first time I'm actually, trying to do something a little different with the video. So Sid is one of the smartest people I know at SAP. I genuinely mean that. Someone I love talking to because I always learn something from him. Just in casual conversations, he's super curious. He has an always learning mindset. And so we've had a lot of great conversations over the years, of course, around SAP SuccessFactors, as you'd expect, but even going beyond that, right? Modern technology, cryptocurrency, Web3, right? You've done sessions at Sapphire, Success Connect, AI. You're one of our leads for that. And so Sid leads our demo build team. He has responsibility for AI across SAP solutions, and is just a leader in this area. So someone I come to when I'm looking to learn something. So thanks for joining me, Sid, and sharing your expertise with everyone.
Happy to be on the podcast, Imran. And let me just say that the feeling is mutual. I always admire the work that you do. I think one of the reasons why we connect so well is we are both very curious learners and we are tinkering with technology. And I think AI is the future. I mean, especially generative AI and the direction that we have with SAP and also the other companies, it's the future of work. So super excited to be on the call, on the podcast.
For sure. So let's talk about AI, right? I mean, everything changed when ChatGPT launched, right? I mean, I know AI wasn't new, machine learning wasn't new, people had chatbots already, that it was already integrated into technology, right? Of course, you have your Google Assistants and Alexa. So it wasn't really anything new, but that was really a game changer, right? Since then, there's been a huge push on innovation, really all over. And that's true of business processes like HR too. So what are you seeing and hearing? One, I mean, like, should people worry about losing their jobs to AI at this point? I mean, tell me a little bit about what you're hearing in your conversations.
Absolutely. I mean, see, that's one of the questions when I talk to customers and even in general with my colleagues or friends, people are always very skeptical about, hey, am I going to lose my job? And then especially people who are tenured in the industry, they're like, what's going to happen? Is it going to completely displace what I do? And the answer is no. I think as of now, the artificial general intelligence is way out there. I think it still needs the human intelligence. I mean, we are still running through captchas and proving that we are not robots and all that. So I don't think we can lose jobs. I think the best way to look at the technology is to see how can it complement what we are doing. So that's the kind of use cases that SAP is building with SuccessFactors and with other solutions also to use at it. Use AI and especially generative AI technology to augment what people do as opposed to displacing their existing skills. So there is a lot of optimization. And the way I present this to people is think about you can be the best version of yourself. If you're not a good writer, if you're not a good speaker, AI can help you with be the best. And think of it as how to use it in everyday work to be the best version of what you have, be more productive. And that's the positive, that's the cautiously optimistic view of AI and the future as opposed to the dystopian world that is often painted.
Yeah. And, like I have, to get to the flip side of that question, I have seen the quote of you won't lose your job to AI, but you might to someone who really knows how to use AI, right? I've seen that in different ways floating around. So with that in mind, like, I guess I kind of wonder, like, if everyone starts using ChatGPT or Bard or, Microsoft Copilot, and they have these amazingly professional replies and everyone's creating great content, right? How do you differentiate between people and talent in that case? I actually even have a funny story. Like, I decided to take a trip with my family, right? And so I used AI to create a email to the hotel staff, right, requesting an upgrade. And like, it created this amazing email. I sent it to the hotel staff and I got my upgrade. But then, like, what happens when that hotel GM doesn't just get one of these, but every week they're getting 100 of these amazing things, like talking about, like, oh, this is so special to me, and like amazingly crafted. Like, how do you differentiate between, I guess, what's real and what's AI generated even?
Yeah, I mean, the answer is it's very hard to do that. I mean, the more boundaries and originality checks that we do, the better the tools are getting. And now you can create like private LLMs, and you can create your own kind of language models that generate, not just generate original content, but it can adapt to your tone. So think about cloning yourself in the digital world. What if it were to talk like me with all the nuances and the kind of language that I use? It's as good as original, and it's very, and again, you may have seen deepfake videos of people. It's extremely hard for systems and even humans to detect that.
Some of the songs that, you know, from artists, right? That was crazy.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, fun fact, you know, I was listening to a deceased artist, and you know, it was very popular, and they had regenerated some new lyrics based on that artist, and it was like so amazing, like it was mind-blowing, saying, oh my god, it's like now you can generate this again. You know, there are like moral ethical aspects of this as well that we should get into,
right? Of course.
But I think just as a cool effect of AI and it kind of truly changing what you had never heard before, it was amazing to see a deceased artist now coming up with new albums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
To answer your question around, you know, so if everybody's using AI, everybody's generating these, you know, how do you differentiate? And that's actually a real problem that we have. Even at my kid's school, you know, one of the things we realized was that, you know, all teachers and schools have said, yeah, you know, anybody can use ChatGPT or Bard or Google and what have you. What they have done is they had said that let's assume that every answer is going to be perfect and it's going to be AI generated for the most part. What they are now rating students on, and again, eventually people on, would be, are you able to even ask the right questions, right? So sometimes, you know, it's a creative aspect that comes in. And as good as these systems are, a lot of it, as we all know, is based on how you prompt it. So prompt engineering kind of comes into play. They're saying the problem statements is the same, but are you asking the right next level questions? So it's going to be more like, you know, do you even know what the right questions are? Forget about the solution for a second, because everybody can create that perfect solution. And that is where some of the differentiation has to happen, is to kind of look at how people are asking it, you know, just assume that it's all generated, not worry too much about it, but go through the fluff and, you know, filter out all that noise and get to the signal quickly. And, you know, the more we try to stop it, and I just read some news this morning that there are universities in Australia that are going back to the pen and paper methodology, saying you can't write essays now digitally, because obviously doesn't work. So it'll only work so much, right? You can't go back in time.
You can't.
It's like, you know, when Napster came, you know, what really happened? It was the streaming was bound to happen, and eventually everybody got around to it. People figured out how to do licensing, how to do copyright checks, and so on and so forth. So I think we are going to this tectonic shift where some of these AI, and especially generative AI, is so disruptive, like you mentioned, that concerns around privacy, originality, and copyright especially are in question. So as long as those boundaries are understood, and people are, and especially companies and employees are looking at it in a way, knowing that people are aware of how to use this technology, and they will be checked for additional content, especially prompting questions. You know, I think there is a way out for that. As it stands now, the technology is evolving, and there are guardrails that have been put in place. But there'll always be chances that things will fall through the cracks.
Mm-hmm. So let's switch gears now to tie it more to SAP success factors. You know, when I look at it, you know, because right now you could use this, right? If I have a job and, you know, I'm hiring a new person and I want to write a job description, right? I could go into ChatGPT and, you know, go and say, hey, I want this job description, probably get it and copy it and paste it. But I think part of the thing that would also make it valuable is that you tie it to the business process in the business process, right, while you're doing it. But then, of course, there's aspects of security there, right? You don't want people going and taking your data, putting it in ChatGPT, which I think to some degree is happening, right? So, you know, part of tying it in that business process and using it, you know, if we're looking at it from the vendor point of view, which, you know, both of us are working for SAP, you know, I think that that's hugely relevant. What are some of the use cases that you see for AI and I guess SAP success factors, but maybe even beyond it to surrounding areas, right? Have you gotten a feel for, you know, how employees feel about this, and, you know, for the early customers that are using it, are they using it successful, or what are you really feeling and hearing there?
Yeah. Yeah, let's start with the first question, the second question first, which is how are employees and our customers feeling about it? I think one thing is there is enthusiasm, excitement, and everybody wants to get their hands on tools like ChatGPT. And the reason being, it's so consumer grade. There is zero training that's needed. There's no onboarding that's needed.
Yep.
Anybody can just get into the tool and, you know, with zero shot prompting, you don't even have to give context of what it is. It'll try and figure things out. So the excitement is really around, hey, if I can use it as a consumer, why not bring everything in the enterprise and just use it? And with SuccessFactors and overall SAP, you know, the hard part that we're doing is to make sure that it doesn't, you know, your proprietary or confidential information does not accidentally get into a public domain, which can happen when you're just copying and pasting things. So one is to prevent that. The second is to when you look at the responses that you want from a large language model, you want it to be more business relevant and nuanced as opposed to being trained on a very generic set.
Of course.
And a good example is today, if you go to ChatGPT and say, hey, I am a SpaceX scientist, you know, tell me how to colonize Mars. It'll give you steps and it'll tell you things and that could be totally fabricated. The point here being that the response is as good as the question and also the data that's behind it. So when you look at HR data, especially, you know, companies have very confidential and proprietary HR data. We want to train it on that. So when you're asking questions, it's not elucidating and giving you things which could be fictitious in nature, but more relevant to what the business wants. So that's one way of how we are looking at addressing AI holistically. The large language models are absolutely the generative AI piece, and then the large language models are absolutely something that we want to tap into. So we're creating private LLMs based on what enterprise data that is controlled completely by the customer. So their data is protected and it doesn't leak into the public domain. And it's also isolated. So when you have customers in different industries, they are rest assured that, you know, anything that is, you know, copyrighted or proprietary to them is not shared with competitors. The second aspect is, AI is bigger than generative AI. You know, so one of the things, or maybe people just equate generative AI to mean everything encompassing AI. We have had AI for like 20 years, like you mentioned earlier. There is a lot of embedded AI that's available in the system. And really what people want is, I think the future is going to be, in my mind, the future is going to be where we do not even mention the word AI. It's going to be like, nobody says we have a mobile site. Everybody expects you have a mobile app. It's mobile friendly. Sure. It's a mobile site and all that. So very soon it's going to be, everything will have a certain facet that is AI enabled. But what people want is, they don't want to jump into different assistants, you know, go into different tools. They want it into the flow of work. So we are in Teams right now. We are in Slack right now. We are in Outlook. Everything has to be there right in the moment and right there for us. So that's the embedded capability that SAP is doing and bringing in. So specifically talking about SuccessFactors with the second half release, what we have done is we have brought in a few things. One is the generative AI aspect. So if you are creating job descriptions, you can now enhance it with AI. So think of it as a co-pilot as opposed to something completely standalone. So there are chances that it may hallucinate or even fabricate information, but we always are conscious that the human is has the say in validating and curating that content so that you are assured that you're not accidentally sending something which is incorrect. So we are bringing human back into the loop. So we are providing these generative capabilities right within the tools. So with the new release, people will see it where you create job postings, where you create goals, and so on and so forth. And incrementally, we are bringing a lot of these other, you know, both generative AI as well as embedded AI features very organically in the software. We have learning recommendations for many years, and do a lot of these things, whether it's interviewing people, you know, asking questions for job interview for candidates. You can do it in Teams and all that. Is to make it in the flow of work, make it holistic. So it's you have conversation agents like Joule that where you can do transactions. You have generative agents that can enhance descriptions and summarize things for you. And then finally, you have embedded things like learning recommendations. So that gives you a complete picture that is enterprise ready and ready for, you know, SuccessFactors customers also. Quite different and quite complex than just someone trying to work with ChatGPT directly, right? So that's basically what the difference is.
Yeah, I mean, you're solving a lot of the issues, right? One, the security aspects you're mentioning, but two, you know, like there are plenty of people that know ChatGPT out there, but you just don't think of to use it, right? And so you have to, one, I guess, make it as easy for them, but then two, to some degree, if you do this right, you're taking out the expectations of the prompt, right? If you put it directly into the application during the process of a job requisition, you're going in there and you're writing it, and it's just a button. Right. And that button is taking care of it for you because, you know, it already knows some context for it. You maybe pulled in the details from the position, the position might already have details about the job title, the location of the job. Right. And some of the general things there. And I think the other part of it is because you're doing it in this manner, these things will get better over time, right? Because it's going to be ultimately trained on your data. Right. I mean, would you say that that's accurate, too?
Absolutely. I mean, that's why I think it's important to also recognize that, as you know, when we talk about prompt engineering, it's all very nuanced and very much in context of your business and you as an individual. So I think it's important to recognize that. So if you want certain behavior, you can actually tweak it or train it to answer, respond to that. So I think that's going to be key. And also, you know, just to add on to what you said, I think the security aspect is important, but we are also expanding it to say, HR is not just in an island, right? So you have these other tools. You have BTP, which is cross SAP. Mm-hmm. You have S4. You have CX doing customer experience. So every feature, every application, or every enterprise business application will have these embedded AI capabilities. And you will have certain tools like Joule, where you can transcend from one application to another seamlessly. So you can go from SuccessFactors, do a report in SAC, look at the data, and have a call in the future to say, hey, I want to do something else in finance. So that's the ability, that's the potential direction where we are headed with providing some of these cross-solution tools and creating something central like Joule becomes that cross-platform conversational agent.
Yeah, and I think that ultimately speaks to the experience too, right? Because, you know, I don't know if you used five different applications for this and, you know, you have a vendor and it's five different vendors providing five different co-pilots or chatbots or whatever you want to call them, one, they're going to get trained on just that, as opposed to having one of them that helps you as an individual do your job better, right? So if I'm a finance professional, yes, I do deal with the HR system, and you know, maybe I'm a manager and I have to be involved in creating a job requisition or something like that. But in my job as a finance professional, it'd be nice to use the same tool that I'm already used to. So my day-to-day is using Joule, as you talked about, and I'm actually comfortable with it. I'm using it. I'm using it for my IT. I'm using it for my HR. I think that is a huge value add, as opposed to, you know, having to deal with, you know, four or five different ones of those type of things. So I do think that's important.
100%. Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of talking about tools, I mean, they're really, in my mind, automation goes hand in hand with the success of what AI will do, because a lot of what we're doing is optimizing it, right? We are always saying that, let me bring in the tools I use, let me connect these things that are maybe siloed and all that. And the big benefit I see now, especially with, if you look at some of the new things that are coming out with the code generation capabilities with Joule and Business Application Studio in BTP, you don't have to actually rely on IT teams to build something elaborate and do a development project to enhance maybe a UI or a report and all that. You will be able to generate that code on your own and bring it into your enterprise landscape. How amazing is that? Like, imagine not having to, not that we don't want to work with IT teams, but again, they can do a lot more other complex things, you know, very simple things can be now generated. So you, all of a sudden, I'm becoming an expert, you know, BTP developer without even knowing BTP. I mean, imagine the potential for that. And that's where the workforce transformation is important, that people have to recognize that they have to kind of ride this wave along in a proper way. And then their jobs can be made more productive greatly with such capabilities.
Yeah, that's the interesting part, right? You know, when I look at it, and you know, I'm very much a techie. I know you're a techie, so I get excited about those things, and I'm like, I see the potential, and I'm like, man, I need to use this. I need to learn. But you know, I also wonder, not everyone is like that either, right? And so, when you show people Joule, let's talk about Joule. What kind of responses do you get from customers or partners? I mean, when you're actually there talking to people on the ground, Are they that excited about it? Less so? Are they like, well, it works really well, but you know, I'm really used to how I do it. What kind of responses do you actually get from people when you show them to this that are non-techies like us?
Right. And most of the stuff that I've shown for Joule, for example, at Success Connect, and we were there, most of it was to customers. And I think there is this expectation that everybody is learning, and really generative AI somehow has upped the bar for a lot of companies, including SAP. So we are kind of making sure that we are addressing, you know, the customer needs in a proper way, you know, keeping the boundaries of the ethics and security in mind. So people are actually very excited about it because, you know, there are a lot of customers who are using SuccessFactors, you know, that they are used to knowing, you know, how to navigate through the system. So the expectation or the potential with Joule is that you can do, you know, queries, you can do transactions, you can do informational lookup things, you know, and you can use natural language to converse with these systems. So they are, it's increasingly connected to what you already have in the system. That's where the exciting part is. I think initially with the second half release, we had 33 use cases, most of them very EC focused. So you can do basic things like, you know, let me look up my cost center or who are my direct reports. Yeah. Let me give kudos and all that. So I think people want more, and which is always good. Like, so the moment you launch the first version of it, they want 10,000 more things. And we have given them a roadmap saying, this is what's coming. But Joule is just not, I would not call it just an agent, but it's a conversational agent. But there are underpinnings of these AI, which is more embedded in nature, where you can do recommendations, you can generate things. All those are also coming. So we have a huge list of things which is truly innovative. Ultimately, Joule is going to leverage that. So if you have something, you can always call that via Joule also. So it's I would say overall it's positive. People are quite excited about it. They want to learn more about it. They want to know how to activate it immediately. They want to know how the consumption metrics works, you know, what the pricing is. So all that is good. Like that's the kind of positive feedback that we want. And also, you know, we share it with our product teams also saying, hey, this is feedback from the field. And I know you talk to customers also, and people want to connect pretty much every system under the sun through an agent like this. So that's what is more exciting to take it not just for SuccessFactors, but take it beyond and say, this is what you can do across your landscape.
Yep. All right. So last question, you know, like I want to be respectful of your time, and where should someone wanting to learn more? I'm sure we'll have a lot of listeners that are curious. I think there might even be some AI playground that you've mentioned when we were just talking before this meeting. So, you know, can you tell us where someone should start? And, you know, I can share links and stuff like that in the podcast details, too. So, you know, for a listener, where should they start?
Absolutely. So one thing is, and I shared with some folks, you know, there's an open SAP course that talks about the SAP new generative AI hub. And again, you know, think about the generative AI hub being just like you have ChatGPT as a playground, but ChatGPT is just one kind of LLM that's available from OpenAI. What we have done is we have taken multiple of these LLMs, and that's the power of the partnership that we have with these other companies like Anthropic, like Cohere, and even OpenAI. So as employees and as companies, you can now stack rank and evaluate all these different providers, you know, take the best of the breed LLMs that are available. So the OpenAI hub is available, and it's you know, you can search at OpenSAP to look at the course that you can follow. There is also tons of information available on the SAP.com site on SAP Business AI. There are, you know, areas where people can look at use cases, specifically if you're a SuccessFactors or a BTP or a customer experience customer, you can actually go into very specific areas and see what all is activated. There are product tools that are available. There are guided experience available. No. And then very soon we will have, and you know, some certain trials where you can try these things out. So it's moving at a fast pace. I think the first thing is, if you are just curious to learn about it, there are some blogs that we can share out from SAP and the SAP.com site links. And finally, the OpenSAP course is a great way to start.
Okay, perfect. Well, I'll definitely share those and, you know, the details of the podcast. All right. Well, I appreciate it, Sid. Thanks for joining. Thanks for sharing your expertise. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Imran. Glad to be on the call. Bye now.